Nuketown Radioactive number 66 for Wednesday, April 30th, 2008. And if you're wondering what that noise was, it was my son playing monster trucks with his cars on the sofa. On this episode of Nuketown Radioactive, Geek Fitness Gets a Gut Check. Nuketown delves deep into statistics. I find a new path to gaming adventure. I try two new online productivity tools and offer my thoughts on how to write a better role-playing game adventure in less time. And as you can tell, my son figures out how much fun it is to run his cars off the sofa. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and this is the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. And this is my son, Lucas. Hey, Luke, can you say hi?
Hi.
What are you doing right now, Lukey?
Hello.
Are you playing with Go-Go's? No. No, you're not playing with Go-Go's?
Hello.
Hello. Bye-bye. Are you going to go nai-nai? No? Okay. So anyway, yeah, this is Nuketown Radioactive. I am desperately trying to get out the third podcast of Radioactive this month. I don't know why I'm so hellbent on trying to get it out, but I think it just goes with the whole month worth of posting thing that I've been trying to do. Oh, here we go. Now he's got the kitty inside of the train, which is probably about to start making noise because that's what it does. All the noise does. So anyway, Lucas is up. He refuses to go to sleep. It's 8:30, and I wanted to get a podcast recorded. So you're going to have the occasional breaks for news from Nuke. Well, news from Little Nuke. Anyway, moving right along, things are going pretty well on Nuketown, and I wanted to let you guys know about some new things that I'm doing over there. First of all, the links section is back. Yes, it's amazing, but after about a year of it being offline or not really being updated, it's back. I've done some stuff on the back end with Drupal that makes it very easy to have the link section. I figured out how to do some stuff with views that allows me to quickly display things in tables, and more importantly, link between the different categories so that you can get a table view of all of the, say, role-playing game links, a table view of all of the game links, a table of all of the libertarian politic links, whatever. I think it's a lot easier to navigate, and it's actually something I needed to do for work, in so much as I need to do something very similar for a website that I'm going to be doing for the library at the college where I work. So it was a great experiment, and it is thankfully done. Okay, so technically, I'm not done. I've got a couple hundred links that used to be on the site that were in the old links database that never got migrated over to the Drupal version. I have a copy of that database, and what I'm basically doing now is just kind of going through the links, seeing if they're still worth putting up on Nuketown, making sure that the URLs still work, that kind of thing. And I think what I'm going to do, rather than have a mass migration of content into Nuketown to restore the database, I'm just going to kind of go through, make sure everything's working, and add them kind of piecemeal. So you can expect over the next month or two that I will be adding a bunch of new links to the site. And if you have any suggestions about stuff that I should include in the links database, you can send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com. And of course, I will always look at those for potential inclusion in NetHeads as well. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit sidetracked. The other thing that I did was include some new analytics stuff on Nuketown to try and get a better feel for exactly what is getting downloaded with regards to the podcast. So Nuketown Radioactive has been around for something like 3 years, and I have had various degrees of file download logging stuff going over the years, but I haven't really been paying attention to it for like the last year and a half, ever since I moved the site over to DreamHost, because DreamHost didn't have logging statistics that were as detailed as what I had before, and to be honest, that's not why I do it. I'm not trying to get like 2,000, 3,000 listeners. That having been said, I wanted to experiment with some new stuff, and there's a new feed burner module for Drupal, so I thought, well, this is a chance to kill a couple birds with one stone because I might need to use the feed burner stuff for work. So I thought, well, let's do the guinea pig thing with Nuketown. So I installed the module, and I set up things through FeedBurner, and now I'm going to have an idea as to how many people are subscribing to the Nuketown and the Nuketown Radioactive feeds. And the other nice thing about it is that it will tell me how many shows are being downloaded through the podcast feed, which is nice. Now, this isn't anything that I couldn't get through the logs, but one of the things is the log was only running on a 3-day schedule, I think, so it couldn't give me a really detailed analysis of what was going on for the month. I've since expanded it to 30 days, so I'll be able to do some grepping back there to see exactly how many files are being downloaded, but I did get a chance to look at the statistics that DreamHost does offer. And one of the things I discovered was that last month, Radioactive was downloaded 8,500 times. Now, actually, let me back up for a second. It wasn't downloaded 8,500 times. There were 8,500 MP3 requests. So the question becomes, okay, well, how many of those were complete? How many of those are listeners? What fraction of these are basically real? So that's where FeedBurner is going to come into play. Hopefully it'll give me a much better idea of exactly what's being downloaded. And since I extended the logs, I'm going to be able to go back in and kind of compare what FeedBurner gives me with what I'm able to grep from the logs myself. As things stand now, I think there are something like 166 subscribers to the podcast through the feed as reported by FeedBurner, although that's been creeping up over the last couple of days as people's aggregators go out and check for the new versions of the podcast. So what I'm guessing is we'll probably see over the next month that number continue to grow as everybody's podcast clients check in to see what's new. My guess is between the RSS feed and the downloads directly from the website that I'm probably in the neighborhood of maybe, I don't know, 500 downloads a month for the podcast. But again, I really don't know, so I'm just going to sit back, relax, and see what FeedBurner can tell me. Now, in other Nuketown news, I have joined a Pathfinder campaign. Pathfinder is a new role-playing game that Pazio Publishing is coming out with. It's basically their alternative to Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. It's going to be based on D&D 3.5, or rather the OGL/D20 version of it that was open-sourced. And what they're doing is they're having a year-long open playtest where they're giving out the alpha and then the beta rules for free, and then people can play them and give them feedback on exactly what they like, what they don't like. So far, there have been 2 alpha releases. There'll be 1 more alpha release before they come out with a soft cover print beta version, which you'll be able to buy at Gen Con, but there will also be another free beta PDF from what I understand. And I've been kind of itching to play this game because I'm curious about how this variant is going to shake out, partly because I think that 4E just isn't really going to be appropriate for my D&D campaign, and partly because I am interested in trying new things, and I think that Pathfinder could really provide a nice alternative for my campaign, but I don't want to wait a year to try it out. So I'm playing in a Pathfinder play-by-email with Daniel Perez of the Gamer Traveler. I've just converted my character over from the Dark City campaign that we do for my regular D&D group, and I think it's I think it's going to be cool. So far, the play-by-email portion of it's off to a slow start. We've been doing a handful of posts each day, and I'm hoping it'll pick up over the next couple of days as everybody kind of gets into their character, and hopefully as our GM has a chance to keep up with the posts. But I'll be giving people updates on what I think of Pathfinder and how it's going as the year progresses. Now, I did get some feedback on baseball from the last podcast, which was pretty much all baseball all the time. I heard from Rich at the Cannon Puncture podcast after Radio 65, and he agreed with me about the geekiness of baseball and wondered why I won't be going to Yankee Stadium this year, which is actually a good question. I mentioned going to a bunch of other Major League stadiums, including down in Philly and Baltimore, so why not Yankee Stadium? Because, like he says, Yankee Stadium is in its last year. It's going to be replaced by a new one next year. And the answer is, well, I might actually go to Yankee Stadium. I would like to go. It's one of those finances things, so we'll see. You know, unfortunately, the truth is it's going to be cheaper to go to Philly to see a game or go to a couple of AAA games in the Lehigh Valley than it's going to be to go to one game at Yankee Stadium. So we'll see. I'm definitely interested. There's been some noise about it at work, and it would seem to be something of a crime to not go to Yankee Stadium while it was still around. There's just so much history there that I think I would probably be remiss if I didn't go. So we'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic that I'll be able to do it.
You enter a room. Immediately to your right, there is a computer, some recording equipment. In the back of the room, there is a very impressive shelf of Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 edition source books. What do you do?
I think I'd like to set up a website.
Roll for web design. You register the domain 35privatesanctuary.com. What kind of content would you like on your website?
I'd like some original content. I'd like some reviews of 3.5 edition material. I'd like a forum to talk about Dungeons & Dragons and other 3.5 related.
Don't forget that you've got the microphones on your right.
Oh, I'd like a podcast.
Roll for podcast. Critical hit. 3.5's Private Sanctuary is the online resource for Dungeons & Dragons gamers that will continue to play 3.5 edition of the rules. You can find us at www.35privatesanctuary.com.
Leading Off Netheads this week is a new podcast that is about a subject that is near and dear to my heart and should be near and dear to, well, everyone's hearts, because if it's not, well, you're just going to drop dead from a lack of exercise. The podcast in question is the Gut Check Cast, and it's by two geeks, and actually probably two geeks that you may have heard of, including Doug from Geek Acres and Zach from the Geek Survival Guide. And it's basically them talking about getting serious about losing some weight. They're both way more than they want to, and I think that's probably something that a lot of geeks can relate to. I don't want to get into stereotypes, but let's be honest, folks, we don't have the most active lifestyle. So they're on a quest to lose some serious poundage, and I definitely applaud them for it. I mean, it's something that I've personally gone through myself, and I've talked about it on the podcast previously. And, you know, it is tough, and I think that giving yourself something like a podcast where you can talk about it and you set up the expectation that you're going to keep doing it can provide you with that little bit of incentive to get to the gym or to take the walk or to, you know, do whatever it takes to lose some of that weight or to maybe think twice before you have that extra cookie or whatever. And it's not because you're necessarily trying to shame yourself into doing better, but just because you know, well, I mean, let me back up for a second. I think a big part of weight loss is just being more conscious of what you're doing or what you're not doing. And I think that having the blog and having the podcast allows you to kind of focus your attention on what you're doing. So it's not that you feel guilty that you're eating that cookie, but it's making you think, hey, you know what? I'm really serious about losing some weight and I want to be able to tell people that I'm progressing. And it's probably better if I don't eat this second cookie. Or, you know, it's probably better if I do that extra lap around the parking lot or whatever. So I don't know if that's necessarily Doug and Zach's motivation, but I know that it was certainly part of what helped me. And I didn't have to lose a huge amount of weight. And actually, I'm on a quest again to try and lose some more poundage ahead of summer because after losing about, I think, 26 pounds or something like that, I bounced back up as we so often do. I blame the holidays and NaNoWriMo. But anyway, I'm at like, I think, 212 right now, and I'd really rather be somewhere in the neighborhood of like 195, something like that. So I can relate to what they're doing, and I applaud what they're doing. I think it's just a really great idea, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes for them. You can check out the show by going to www.gutcheckcast.info. I unearthed these next two sites while I was working on a presentation on Web 2.0 for a brown bag lunch session I did at work. And this was basically me standing up in front of a bunch of faculty and students and administrators and talking about what was new with the web. And I had thrown out onto Twitter that I was doing this, and I got a bunch of cool notes back about stuff that I should check out. And these two were ones that that came up while I was doing my research. So the first one I want to talk about is Twiddla. And this is kind of interesting, and I think it might have some gaming applications. I don't know if it would really suit our purposes, but I'd be willing to try it out. This is basically a team whiteboarding application. It works through a website, and what it allows people to do is to log in and chat and talk in real time. So you can either do text-based chat, or you can do voice talking through the application. You can draw on the whiteboard canvas, and you can even co-browse web pages. So you can lead people through a discussion and then say, oh, okay, well, yeah, go check out this this website I've got there. So that seems pretty interesting. I've done some whiteboarding and online conferencing through work using a different application, and this seemed like it might be a nice low-cost alternative. Well, no-cost alternative, because there doesn't seem to be any cost for using it. It could be useful for an online game in so much as, you know, you want to be able to quickly sketch what's going on. Maybe for story games where you don't need to have hugely detailed miniatures and you can just, you know, draw on this whiteboard and have it sufficient. For something like D&D, where there's a lot of tokens and stuff that you're moving around, probably not so much. But it could be just kind of a good staging area for running these kinds of like story-based, less map-based games. So I think you should check it out. It's at www.twiddla, Evernote.com. And of course, there'll be a link to it in the show notes. The next app that I came across was called Evernote, which is a synchronizable note-taking system for Mac, Windows, and mobile devices. And the idea here is that you've got one application that either runs on your Mac, on your Windows machine, or your cell phone, and it all syncs back to a central server. And then every time you launch the application, it downloads the latest notes. So you can have all of your notes in one section. And if you've been a fan of the podcast for a while, you know that I'm obsessed with the whole idea of a virtual desktop on the online where I can go and get my stuff, right? This isn't exactly that. It can be a little bit funky. You can do image screenshots of web pages, which then get uploaded to the site. It then processes the image and gives you text recognition. So it scans the text on the page so that you can get the notes, which is interesting, but I don't know, it felt a little awkward while I was using it. Maybe I just haven't gotten used to it yet. You can also select text within a browser and then press a toolbar button, which will then add it as a note to the application, which of course then gets synced back to its central thing. So I thought that I might use this for my next Nice at the Dinner Table Summon Web Scryer columns, which basically consists of me sitting down and surfing for 2 hours trying to find different websites for a given game. I think this kind of thing could be really useful for that because I need to be able to take all these notes and then organize my notes. I don't know if it will be more productive than sitting down and doing what I do now, which is throwing it into Notepad or Word or to Google Docs, but I think it's at least worth trying. And it's definitely worth trying if you're somebody who's constantly scribbling notes down on your computer or taking quick audio notes to yourself on your phone or whatever, and you want to have one place to manage all of that. So you can check it out at www.evernote.com. The last thing I came across is really geeky, but it could be useful. I haven't actually tried it, although I can definitely see where the appeal is, especially after having spent the month of November working on writing a novel for NaNoWriMo. This is a tip that I came across on lifehacker.com, which is about saving every edit to your documents using Subversion for Writers. So the idea is you might be using Notepad or some other thing to do your notes, and or Emacs or something else that saves as a text file. The idea is that if you want to keep track of every iteration of the document, what better way to do it than Subversion, which is a version control system that's typically used for writing code and keeping track of changes to code. But, what is text but code for humans, right? So this article walks you through how to set up Subversion, talks about the basics behind version control, and explains how you would be able to use it to track all the changes that you make to a given document. Definitely worth checking out. It's very geeky and it's kind of technical, but if you're not intimidated by those things and you do have a need to kind of keep track of every last edit that you make, I think it could end up being a time saver. I won't include the link right now because it's rather long, but you can go to the show notes and find the link to the full article there.
In a perfect world, wars are fought with miniatures, arguments are settled with dice, and life is all that stuff you do when you're not gaming. The world is not perfect. The Escapist Cast is the official podcast of TheEscapist.com and features discussions on role-playing advocacy, exploring the myths and misconceptions about tabletop RPG and LARP, improving public image and understanding of the hobby, and putting our passion for the game to good use towards improving the world around us. Discover the reality of fantasy games at theescapist.com/escapistcast.
I write too much. This is not a new or sudden revelation. I've known since college that I could fill a notebook with ideas when prepping for a night's game of Dungeons & Dragons. I might write 12,000 words to describe a 3-story arc adventure and then use 1/4 of what I've written. Okay, that's grossly inefficient, but it was no big deal. I had the time. And ultimately, what I wrote would find its way back into some other adventure. And even if it didn't, that was okay too, because after all, it's about the journey, not the destination, right? Except now I find I don't have the time. The hours I used to spend crafting my Dungeons & Dragons campaign are gone, devoured by 2 fun little monsters for whom quiet time is the villain and bedtime the enemy. What I used to be able to spend 3 weeknights putting together must now be accomplished in an hour, 2 if I'm lucky. Now, my initial solution to this particular problem when the kids first came along wasn't really a solution at all. I simply stopped game mastering. But while I really like playing the game, I love game mastering more, and the desire to keep writing up new scenarios to be tested and destroyed every Friday night remained strong, in spite of my lack of time. 4 years after my daughter was born, I've come to the realization that the goal is to do more with less and to get as much of the essential guts of the weekly adventure down on paper as I can, and fleshing everything else out on the fly. Thus, the three-page manifesto. So the goal of the manifesto is to save time and energy by creating role-playing game adventures limited to 3 pages or less. The key to meeting this goal was to come up with a structure and stick to it. So the idea is I come up with an outline as to what I need for any given adventure, and then I stick to that outline. And here's what it is. First off, we've got the title and dates. This would be both the real-world date and the game date, just the facts. This gets recycled into the header of the wiki entry chronicling the saga once I'm done. There's a previous session recap, which runs about 150 to 300 words, and it's a summary of what came before, recapping the last one or two adventures, and touching on any necessary plot lines. This reminds me of where we were in the story, and hopefully helps spark new ideas about what to do with the next night's adventure. Then I've got the adventure synopsis, which is 150 to 300 words, and it's an overview of what should happen, or rather, what might happen in that night's session. I took this idea directly from Dungeon Magazine, which used this technique to introduce each of its adventures. This is a crucial focusing tool. It lets you do all the brainstorming about the night session up front, rather than having the adventure form organically as you're writing it. That may work for novels, but you can't afford that kind of meandering, time-consuming approach when you're trying to put together an adventure 2 hours before your players arrive. Then I write 3 to 5 encounter summaries, each of which are about 250 to 400 words each. These are either role-playing or combat encounters. Each entry quickly sketches out what's supposed to happen. If I'm introducing an important NPC, I'll add some flavor text and quick role-playing note. If it's a scripted encounter in which certain things need to happen, I break out those things into bullet points. If it's a combat episode, I jot down some notes on the environment, maybe some flavor text, and then toss in some stat blocks for the monsters or enemies that they'll be fighting. If I want to make sure we can finish the session in one night, then I cap the adventure at 3 encounters, otherwise I might go as high as 5. This approach puts me on target for somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,250 to 2,500 words, and about 2 to 3 pages, maybe 3.5 if I'm running long. I've used this approach for the last 3 to 4 adventures I've run, both for Dungeons & Dragons and for Mutants & Masterminds, and I'm using it again for an upcoming Savage Worlds pulp weird game that I'm going to be running. And it's really worked well. While there's still pressure to get the adventure done on time, by using these guidelines I can focus on what needs to be done, rather than writing pages upon pages of background that sounds good in my head but ultimately hinders rather than helps my efforts to be a game master and be a geek dad. And ultimately, I think that's one of the keys to being a parent and still being able to do the stuff you love. It doesn't matter if you're talking about writing up notes for a D&D session or even just reading a book. You just need to find a way to do things a little bit more efficiently so you can carve out those blocks of time to do the things that you love. And to, let's admit it, not go completely crazy when your kids decide that they want to stay up until 12 o'clock at night playing with their trucks.
Do you find yourself wondering how to keep it all straight with all those great RPG podcasts out there on the internet? Like a flaming, dancing, vorpal plus five holy avenger of awesome. Check out rpgpodcast.com.
And that'll do it for this episode of Nuketown Radioactive. I'm always looking for feedbacks and comments on the show. You can send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com.